the nitrates derogation. That is an opt-out for Ireland from an EU law which limits the amount of pollution from nitrogen, which is contained in organic manure which farmers spread on their land. The law says the amount of nitrogen should not exceed 170 kilograms per hectare per year. The derogation allows farmers here to use up to 250 kilograms. The derogation is due to run out at the end of this year. Ireland wants to retain it, the only country in the EU to do so. And now the European Commission is setting tougher conditions that the government must meet. It must demonstrate efforts to conserve designated species and sites under the EU's Habitats Directive. That aims to conserve the flora and fauna, which are under threat like never before. We're joined in studio by the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Martin Hayden, Fine Gael TD for Kildare South. You're very welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
How challenging will that be to demonstrate those conservation efforts for designated species and sites?
Yes, look, it will be additional conditionality that we have to try and meet. And it's an extra layer that in previous applications to get an extension of our derogation that we didn't have to face. Farmers have made great strides in terms of their efforts to improve water quality, as well as producing the top quality food that's trusted at home and abroad. We see the most recent EPA results that prove a 10% reduction in nitrates levels in our rivers. And those results only came out last week. So that's real testament to the work that farmers have been taking, the investment they've made, supported by government through TAMS, through the ASSA programme, and a range of different measures. And in many ways, it's proof that the derogation is working. It holds farmers to a higher level and a higher standard. They take on extra conditionality, but it also takes account of the fact that we're different to most other European countries. Mm. Our pasture-based system means that we farm very differently, and our high level of rainfall and the fact that our cows are out on grass more than other European countries does set us apart.
Nonetheless, less than 2% of our marine waters has legal seabird protection, despite the government committing to protect 30% of them by 2030. Half of our rivers and our lakes and two-thirds of our estuaries are polluted. And Thashka say that there are elevated nitrogen levels in the south and southeast. One in five species here is threatened with extinction. One in every third species of bees, the same. Atlantic salmon, European eel, angel shark, all suffering what Biodiversity Ireland call catastrophic population decline. The conservation schemes that are in place, they need more help. They don't need more nitrogen.
So ultimately here what we have is obviously that declining element of nitrates in our rivers, 10% reduction, proving that farmers can continue to produce that food and have a more positive impact
on water
quality and beyond.
To that list of challenges around, that our biodiversity is facing.
Yes, we are facing challenges and farmers are at the forefront of that.
But it doesn't need more nitrogen is the point.
But the point is that the measures and the supports that are put in place to support our farmers to make these measures are having a real impact. So the point you make around estuaries is a very valid one. We know there's a lag in terms of between the time when farmers and everybody, and it's not just farmers that impact on water quality, as we know, and that's why we established the Cabinet Subcommittee on Water Quality, chaired by the Taoiseach, that looks at all of the contributors, including our local authorities, the EPA, Uisge Éireann, and everyone else, to this. But from the perspective of what farmers are doing, that improvement in water quality in our rivers, there is an obvious lag that will lead to positivity in our estuary figures down the line as well, because it takes time for that to feed through in terms of the water quality.
But the government never put in place any assessment on the impact of the extra nitrogen loading on the land as a result of the derogation, and it will have to now. That water quality is declining year on year.
So just to be clear, we have always, every time we've got an extension of a derogation, the analysis has always been on water quality. What has been asked now is an extra layer in terms of dealing with the Habitats Directive and its impact in that regard. And I've said very clearly back to the Commission, what I'm saying to stakeholders now is that I need to go back to the Commission and outline an approach that will satisfy that from the Commission's perspective. That is onerous. It is a big change. And that's why I've engaged with stakeholders from all of the farm organisations through to industry and through to the farmers themselves.
So is the derogation gone when you consider everything that we have outlined there? You've no targets around biodiversity in the programme for government. You haven't ring-fenced those funds from the Climate and Nature Fund for farmers to help restore nature. There's no mention of the Marine Protected Areas Bill. Without all of that, and with the fact that water quality has been declining year on year, How do you convince the Commission to allow the derogation?
We have thousands of farmers who voluntarily signed up for the farming for water EIP. We have farmers who are investing in their holdings in terms of increasing slurry storage and adoption of new measures like low emission slurry spreading. Farmers have been on a really significant journey, and I would make the point, farmers can't go green if they're in the red financially. So actually, farmers being able to make a living from that produce, from their produce, allows them to invest back in and all of the measures that helps to improve water quality. So what we now need to do is face the challenge of the Habitats Directive. The whole area of appropriate assessment is onerous, but that's something that I'm going to take on through my department. I'm going to outline that to the Commission, that that will be our approach, and justify to the Commission why legally they'd be in a good position to put us forward for another derogation. Because what we need to avoid is any cliff edge that at the end of this year our derogation ends. And unless there's an action or a vote by the member states to extend or give us another derogation, so we do need to work with the Commission in terms
of
this.
But what about our climate and biodiversity crisis, which this government declared a number of years ago? Is that not more important than allowing farmers to legally pollute our waters?
Farmers can do more than one thing at a time. We are producing top quality food while at the same time making a marked difference. When you look at the Acres programme, when you look at the eco schemes, where over 90% of farmers have qualified for the Space for Nature, setting aside up to 10% of their farm for nature, for biodiversity. You know, we currently have 54,000 farmers signed up to the Acre scheme, and they're planting enough hedgerow to go from Cork to Kyiv in terms of additionality here. Farmers are delivering in the environmental space while also producing that top quality.
They say that losing the derogation will mean they have a choice, either buy more land or cut their cattle herds.
So there's no doubt that the derogation is really, really important, not just for the 7,000 derogation farmers. It's also important for tillage farmers. It's also important from that perspective of land availability. But it is important to bring back that our water quality is good by European standards compared to other countries who have come out of the derogation.
Well, the EPA and others would disagree.
But
their reports continually show it declining year on year.
Not in relation to the point. We've seen an improvement in water quality from the most recent EPA results, and not in relation to comparison with other European countries who no longer have
derogation.
Kashka say
the nitrogen levels in the south and southeast are elevated.
Yes, but in terms of the trend and the journey we're on and the impact that the measures farmers have taken to date have really helped. Mm-hmm. And I want to continue to support farmers in that space while continue to run profitable farms that is the bedrock of our rural communities. The towns and villages, the length and breadth of this country that your urban listeners will travel to over the summer and enjoy, are thriving because of the strength of our rural economy and the multiplier effect. When our farmers make money, they spend it locally and it supports those local economies. We want balanced regional development in this country. We want to support our farming sector while continuing to improve our water quality, our biodiversity. Farmers can do more than one thing at once, and we're continuing to do that, and government will support them to do that.
I want to ask you finally about the tariffs. The deadline's extended now to August the 1st. Food and drink are right in there in these talks. Are you worried?
Well, look, I've been engaged. I was out in the United States in the first week in April. You know, met with my counterpart Brooke Rollins, the Secretary for Agriculture over there. I'm working really closely with the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, who is obviously dealing very closely with his counterparts there as well. The Taoiseach will brief us again this morning at Cabinet. He's working very closely with Commissioner Sefcovic. We want as close a working relationship.
Won't be zero for zero. That looks fairly clear.
That looks much less likely. It might be for certain products. And, you know, we have products like, if you take Irish butter, second biggest market share for butter in all of the United States, a phenomenal success story, currently has a tariff of 16%. So any additional tariff is on top of that. And that is challenging in that space. But we are very lucky that we export to 180 countries around the world. We're not just dependent on one market. We continue to grow our market opportunities in every market across the world.
Thank you very much for coming in to us this morning, Agriculture Minister and Food and the Marine, Martin Hayden. It's 7:48. We were talking earlier to the Minister for Agriculture about Ireland's derogation from an EU law known as the Nitrates Directive. It limits the amount of pollution from nitrogen contained in organic manure which farmers spread on their land. And the law says that the amount of nitrogen should not exceed 100 than 70 kilograms per hectare per year, but the derogation allows farmers here to use up to 250 kilograms. The derogation is due to run out at the end of this year. Ireland wants to retain it, the only country in the EU to do so, and now the European Commission is setting tougher conditions that the government must meet. It must demonstrate efforts to conserve designated species and sites under the EU's Habitats Directive that aims to conserve the flora and fauna, which are under threat like never before. This all follows legal proceedings brought by the environmental organisation Antashka against the government 3 years ago, which, if successful, would see Ireland's nitrates derogation removed. That case has been referred by the High Court to the European Court of Justice. Dr. Elaine McGough is their head of advocacy, and she's been speaking to our reporter Andrew Louth.
We're in a situation where half of our rivers and lakes and two-thirds of our estuaries are polluted. And there's a clear pattern of elevated nitrogen pollution in the south and southeast, which is driven primarily by intensive agriculture. But the impact on our waterways of allowing additional organic nitrogen loading by means of this derogation had never been assessed before as part of the licensing process. And that was a really major oversight by the government, and it's high time that it was addressed.
Farmers would be concerned about the impact this would have on their businesses. Is there kind of a balance to be found here between the environmental requirements and the agricultural requirements as well?
I can understand why farmers would be concerned, particularly because they've expanded in line with government advice and they're likely to face significant challenges now in getting another derogation under these new rules. But in terms of it being a balance, I would say when you look at the water quality picture, for the last 10 years, we've had year-on-year declines because primarily of agricultural pollution. So the balance has clearly been off. So while the farmers are worried, I would say this is actually a rebalancing in favour of our ecological health, because our clean water, it's important for everything. It underpins all life. And if we lose that, we lose everything. So, you know, when it comes to clean water, the balance has to be to focus very much on maintaining clean water and preventing further pollution.
The derogation expires at the end of this year. Has the government left it quite late to take action on this?
Yeah, I mean, to date, successive governments have failed completely to put in place contingency plans to deal with the potential loss or major amendment to the nitrates derogation. And that's in spite of them recognising that it's critical for the ongoing economic health of the dairy industry. And it's despite organisations like my own, Antashka, saying for years that this was very problematic and was likely to end. So at this point, I mean, it's almost too late in the game. But if ever there was a time for the government to step up and put in place a well thought through and adequately resourced plan, now is the time in order to transition the impacted farmers away from high stocking densities that the derogation allowed.
And that was Dr. Elaine McGough from Antashka. Well, the president of the Irish Farmers Association, Francie Gorman, is on the line now. Francie Gorman, you're very welcome. Do you disagree with any of that you've heard there from Dr. McGough?
I disagree with a lot of it. Good morning, Audrey. And I listened to the interview earlier with the minister. And if you're a farmer listening in this morning, you'd be frustrated in a huge way about where this is going to go, the uncertainty that faces down the road. We've done an amount on our farms, particularly over the last 2 to 3 years. And when I came into this job in early 2024, it was said to me on more than one occasion, get the nitrates levels in the waters right and you'll hold on to your derogation. Now, we know there's a problem in the southeast and in another small number of catchment areas that are being addressed. But we have seen a reduction of nitrates in our waters to the tune of 10%. The EPA, not Antashka, is the body that is tasked with reporting on our water quality. It's their report when it goes to Europe that counts. And they've shown that in the report last week, there's been a 10% reduction in nitrates in our waters, and they're at their lowest level since 2016. And we're now been faced, and we've been told, that we have to comply with a Habitats Directive, the effect that the derogation is going to have on that. And that came in 1991, as far as I understand. So what our concern around all of this is, number one, are we going to hold on to the derogation? And to be clear, we're very supportive of the government's position in that they're going to look for the derogation from the 1st of January 2026 on. We need that certainty. The issue we have is how it's going to be done and the appropriate assessment and what that might look like. And if you look at various other licensing that farmers have to contend with. You look at the licensing in the forestry sector, the agriculture sector, look at the planning sector, look at the driving tests and how that's handled. We've shown an inability time and time again to be able to get these licensing systems in place in a way that they work in an efficient manner, and that farmers are able to apply for them and get a result in a timely fashion. So if we can get an appropriate assessment done at catchment level and done in a way that can be done in an efficient manner, we'd be supportive of that. We understand more than any sector the importance of having biodiversity on our farms. And to be clear, farmers are very, very proud of the level of biodiversity that we have in our farms. You can quote all the reports you like. Go across to continental Europe and look at the level of biodiversity on farm. Now, I'm not talking about in the mountains. I'm talking about on farm compared to what we have here, and we're streets ahead.
What are your choices? What are farmers' choices if the derogation is withdrawn?
It's an Armageddon choice for rural Ireland because, number one, it's going to drive up the demand for land, and it's probably going to, if you're farming a derogation today and you lose it, you have a choice of reducing your stock numbers or increasing your land base. And I know of a farmer in County Monaghan who told me last week that when the stocking rate was reduced from 250 to 220, he went into the land market. He spent €9,000 on taking extra land, and it didn't allow him to keep one extra cow. So it adds hugely to the cost base. It's going to have knock-on effects at processing level, and it's also going to have knock-on effects for farmers who are not in derogation. So I think we need a proportionate balance here. Of course, we need to look after the environment, and our environment is very important. The countryside that we have, that you drive through when you go away for the month of August, down the country, down to the west of Ireland, through the well-farmed areas, if you want to call it, more intensively farmed areas in maybe the east and the south of the country, you don't have that countryside if you didn't have farmers in it. So it's about getting a proportionate balance between looking after nature, but also making sure that farmers can make a living with a little bit of certainty down the road that allows them to invest in their business.
Thank you very much for talking to us this morning, the president of the IFA, Francie Gorman. It's 8:32 and Brian's here with the latest news.